Amiche ed amici di Tutto Wrestling, ben ritrovati, anzi benvenuti a questa prima occasione specialissima per noi, speciale perché, come potete vedere, qui con me pronta a rispondere a alcune delle nostre domande c'è Serena Deeb dalla AEW, un'occasione specialissima per noi. E allora, cambio lingua, passo all'inglese, iniziamo questa intervista con the professor of professional wrestling, Serena Deeb. Welcome.
Beautiful, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love
Thank
Italian
you.
So much.
it's the easiest part for me. So we are so glad to have you. It's not common for Italians, for Italian website or so for wrestling in general to have someone of a star like you. Let's say a star like you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So let's start with the questions. Let's start from the beginning. We do a little bit of homework. So you're the professor, and it sounds about right to do some homework. you had a lot of talk and praise about the very beginning of your career in OVW. Of course, you said that there are a few persons that are important for you as a wrestler, and not only. We just wondering, are you using something that you learned back in the day now that you are a teacher too, a trainer too?
Everything. a lot of my early trainers they had a very, you know, in wrestling, they would say old school mindset, but it still works. There's examples of that, you know, even within our company. FTR is a great example of that. I tried to, you know, honor that as much as I can. Those teachings from Danny Davis to Rip Rogers to Al Snow, you know, Jim Cornette. I mean, these were all people that were very influential at the start of my career. When I was 18 years old, I was just thrown into the deep end of the wrestling business. And, you know, it was my childhood dream, obviously. And I chose OVW because it was, to me, from what knowledge I had at that time, you know, in high school, doing my research and everything, that was the place to go. Because there were a lot of schools that were, you know, notable and had great reputations, but OVW was, it was like a no-brainer. And I decided on OVW when I was about 16, I'd say, years old. Told my parents, I want to go to Louisville. I want to go to OVW. And their teachings were just invaluable and timeless. And I think, you know, wrestling has evolved a lot, and so you have to follow the evolution, of course, but to be grounded in that, to be grounded in the fundamentals, that's, I would say, the main thing that I got from OVW, or one of the main things, aside from all the great memories and laughs and all of that, was just great fundamentals. And I think that, you know, maybe missing a little bit in today's wrestling, because a lot of those wrestling schools don't exist anymore, or those trainers. And I think having great fundamentals, basics, just being able to tell, you know, a very basic, simple story, you know, in the blink of a moment, that was ingrained in me. I spent 4.5, 5 years there while I was going to college as well. And I think, you know, when people compliment my wrestling, a lot of the things that I hear are just fundamentally sound. That's why I mentioned FTR as well. Like same kind of school of thought and of upbringing in the business. And that's really important, and that's a huge compliment. And I'm just really grateful. I mean, it was just, you know, sometimes we would have the same, I was practicing 3 days a week with Rip, 4 or 5 days with Al, wrestling every weekend. I was wrestling 7 days a week while going to college full time as well. Got my, you know, bachelor's degree at the same time, also working a job at a restaurant. And, you know, it, crazy time, but yeah. When you're 18, 19, 20, like you know, you have the energy and the will to do all of that. And I think sometimes when I see like today's wrestlers, like the fundamentals are not there. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault. It's just, I credit that to my upbringing at OVW. And I still think to this day, like I had a lot of different chapters, FCW, Dr. Tom, Norman, Dusty, you know, Steve Kern. Like there's so many names I can throw out there. But when I was at OVW, I had the privilege of being under the learning tree of all the people I mentioned before, but then also they would bring in Robert Gibson, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and just some of the greats. And some of them are not with us anymore. And I'm just so grateful that I had that, because that was, you know, 2005 when I started there, and we're obviously in 2022 and it's a different time in wrestling, different style. But if your fundamentals are not there, to me, like, you know, having a background in coaching and training and all this stuff, like that's, you got to rewind and like, mm-hmm. learn that, because that is kind of the most important thing. And if you don't have that, then you can learn everything else at a very fast forward accelerated rate. But if you don't have fundamentals, then you're missing out on a very key piece to the puzzle, in my opinion.
Yes, it's like that in everything, every sports, every kind of thing. You started wrestling and training for wrestling in what we can call the Diva Search era, like we can say like this. And it's the women's revolution, and you were already away from WWE. You were already wrestling elsewhere, and. It's something like there was a little bit of mistiming in that, or being back now with the AW, with the NWA title run, are kind of fixing things up for you.
Absolutely, yeah, great observation. I went through a phase where I left the wrestling business for a little while. I had some growth that I needed to go through. I came into yoga and just went in a little different direction in my life. Meanwhile, I'm observing this whole revolution happening. And to be honest, like I did feel like I was missing out. I felt, oh gosh, I just missed it by a year, two, three, you know, it was kind of crushing, kind of heartbreaking at certain points. And I, I thought about wrestling every single day. I mean, I have since I was 11 years old. But to see, you know, I'll say like Bailey, for example, who obviously doesn't work for our company, but she was somebody that I met, you know, before I kind of stepped away for a couple years. And she was somebody that I saw so much in. I met her in California at an independent show, and I just saw myself in her. And leading back to OVW, I like Mickey James, who had a birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Mickey. Happy belated. I actually talked to her last night and wished her a happy birthday. But, you know, everything goes full circle. So Mickey saw that in me and kind of took me under her wing and then really helped me so much during my years at OVW. And then fast forward, and then I see this girl, Pam Bailey, who reminded me of me. And same thing, you know, I helped her. I tried to help her as much as I could, like to get better opportunities and get seen. And she got seen. And now look at her, you know, like yeah. She's the top of the top. You know, one of the best in our business and somebody that's so respected and great in the ring and all of that. The Divas era was interesting because there were a lot of pressures put on women. I probably don't have to mention them because they're kind of obvious. But yeah, I mean, to be, you know, a wrestler's wrestler, okay. You know, somebody that just loves wrestling and just wants to be a great wrestler. And then you know, you're dealing with all these other things that, you know, you have to make these changes to yourself and you have to wrestle a different style than maybe you want to, and you know, constantly being under this microscope of being criticized and, you know, yeah. Told don't do this because that's not how women should wrestle. And it was a bit confusing for me as a young woman to be in that time period. But I did my best to adjust, and then I tried to help others as much as I could. And, you know, fast forward to now, there are no limitations on women. Women's wrestling is, I mean, the standard is so high. It's as high as the men, in my opinion, or should be. And I think just seeing the evolution of all these periods of time, Diva Search, Divas Era, Women's Revolution, you know, women main eventing, you know, I think people still think Bailey and Sasha is one of the greatest women's matches of all time, yeah. You know, and then just even in our company at AEW, watching the women main event and Britt and Rosa, and seeing the women go from being nothing to then main eventing, not only like TV shows, like our TV, but our pay-per-views being really, really valued. There's always multiple women's matches on the card, and yeah. it's come a long way. It wasn't that way 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, there was a lot of hard work behind the scenes by a lot of us to get it to where it is today. But I'm really proud of where it is today, because it was not always that way.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned your temporary retirement and the process of shifting to another job, to a teaching job, of course. It's something almost, I'd say, unique in a wrestler path, because not a lot of your colleagues, men or women, did that kind of path. And do you think it would help other wrestlers to do the same, to do like a little bit of teaching job, training job?
I really do, because when I, you know, I took time away because I've been very open and honest about this. Like, I was in a very, like, mentally, like, not good place with wrestling when I left for a couple of years. And then yoga, you know, I found yoga and I fell in love with it. And, you know, I did two teacher trainings and kind of went in that direction. But wrestling was always on my mind. But anyways, aside from that, I think coaching and teaching helps you in so many ways. First of all, it helps you, I mean, you have to be a very compassionate and empathetic person to do that job, because every single day I would have a girl or a woman, you know, crying to me about, or venting to me, or coming to me for guidance. And I would have to help them through that, because it's not an easy business. Physically, it's not easy. Mentally, it's not easy. It's very rewarding. And, you know, for those of us that it was our childhood dream, it's, you're living your dream. I mean, there's nothing better. But it can get really, really challenging. And so to be in a, like, mentorship position where you can actually help people is really rewarding. And when you see people, there were a few moments, you know, a few matches that I helped with that I almost felt like I was in the match, because I was such a part of putting it together and coaching them and helping them through their self-doubts and all these things that we all go through as human beings. I mean, it's not limited to wrestlers. Like, we all have self-doubt and you know, all of these, you know, insecurities and whatnot. But, you know, it was such a victory for me to see people that, let's say I helped them from, like, day one, and now I see them on TV and I'm like, wow, that person's doing awesome. And, you know, whatever blip on the radar, whatever small part I played in that, is really, really cool. So that's more on a selfish, I guess, front. Mm-hmm. But rewarding, like, to my heart, like, I feel that. But also, coaching and producing, you start to see all these little details in wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then when you have to give, you know, feedback and constructive criticism and all of that, you pay attention to those details so much more than when you're wrestling. And I think, you know, the greatest coaches can literally watch a match and say, nope, 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 nope. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. And they see all the tiny details, even if it's like one like foot in the wrong place, you know. It's like it's actually pretty crazy, like how detailed pro wrestling is, and people don't realize it, you know. But it's extremely detailed, and in my years coaching, both at WWE and at AEW, it's kind of opened up my mind a lot more to the importance of the details. And I think anybody that has had a coaching position or gets the privilege to do that is just going to think about wrestling in a completely different way and see it through a different lens. And I think it's very important, and I think anyone that has that chance would benefit not only as a coach but as a wrestler as well.
Okay. Getting back in the ring now, and when you get back to, as a wrestler, it was always in your mind. You said it over and over, and you wanted to do that, but it's kind of there's a moment when you being afraid that people weren't interested in you anymore, or you were always confident about the fans' response, because of course it's different from our side, the fans, and maybe from your side.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I was coaching for about 3 years. You know, like I said, learned a lot, opened my mind up, all of that. The entire time I was coaching, and I've said this on so many interviews, it's no secret, like I wanted to wrestle. I felt unfinished. I felt still healthy in mind and body and all of that, you know, and I was still young, and you know, there were moments where it was really hard for me to just like be coaching and not in the ring. And just the way my life has unfolded, I was given that opportunity again, and I will credit Kenny Omega for that, because he was the one that called me to have that match with Thunder Rosa on Dynamite, and that's where everything took off. You know, my AEW career started right away, and NWA and all of that. Kenny gave me a chance, and I don't know, you know, I have no idea what my life would look like if that phone call didn't happen. It's kind of surreal to think about, actually. But yeah, getting back in the ring was always on my mind. I did embrace coaching as much as I possibly humanly could. Like, I loved it. I loved my girls. You know, like I said, I was there for all of them. Kind of some days felt like a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you know, just so many, there were so many things that I'm really grateful for, and that taught me a lot, and, you know, really helped me grow as a person and as a wrestler. I didn't realize it at the time that, you know, through helping these other women, that I was also growing as a wrestler, but I didn't know that I was going to have another run in wrestling. And then just life happened, COVID happened. And, you know, as soon as I lost my job, due to COVID and they laid off everybody, I just started training, getting myself back in ring shape because I was like, all right, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if an opportunity will arise, but I'm going to get myself ready so that when it does come, or hopefully when it does come, I'll be ready. And that's what happened. I mean, I had 48 hours notice before my match with Thunder Rosa, and I was ready. I had been preparing for months. I'm, you know, I can't remember the quote, but it's something like, you know, train, like, don't feel the need to like tell the world you're training or that you're preparing or that you're doing this or doing that. Just do it. Just do it under the radar. And that's what I was doing. I was preparing and I was training and I was getting everything prepared, but I wasn't broadcasting it and I wasn't putting it out there. So it was very under the radar. So I think like my return to wrestling was very surprising because people didn't know, because that's just how that's what I believe in. And everybody has their own route and path and decisions. But I decided to just kind of secretively under the radar prepare. Opportunity came, and then
did you know that people were waiting for you? Did you feel like people, because when you get back, of course, a lot of people were so happy that you get back. Like, they really waited for you for years as well.
Thank you. No, I didn't actually. I didn't. I just kind of grinded, you know, on my own, and hoped that something would come. And I trained really hard, and, you know, after about 5 years out of the ring, it takes quite some effort to get back into wrestling shape. You know, it's an entirely different animal. Like, you don't just go to the gym. You have to train, get in the ring, you know, constantly, like, especially after that amount of time. I mean, that's half a decade that I was not in the ring. I was still keeping my mind sharp with coaching and everything like that, but physically speaking. But, you know, I think there are some, you know, there were a lot of fans, especially that maybe followed my career early on, whether it was WWE or Shimmer or Ring of Honor, that kind of hoped there'd be a resurgence. And, you know, I remember having that match with Rosa, and oh my gosh, like, the feedback was so positive. I mean, it was pretty incredible, like, the feeling that I had, because it was, you know, after 5 years, of course, like I mentioned, self-doubt, you know, all these things, but, you know, you jump in the water and you go for it, and it worked out extremely well.
Yeah, definitely. So everybody was happy, the fans and you too. So speaking about All Out pay-per-view, maybe some fans are unhappy that you are not gonna be on the pay-per-view, but which match are you watching closely? The match for the TBS title between Cargill and Athena, or the Fatal four-way match for the Interim AEW World Championship?
I can't choose. I'm watching both. You know, Jade has been obviously totally dominant. She's somebody that I saw, you know, come from zero experience to, you know, a lot of growth. She puts in a lot of hard work. I've mentioned her on numerous interviews, her work ethic. I mean, you can just look at her physique and know what she puts in to her life. And she's a mother, and she's, you know, like, I have a lot of respect for her, and I have a lot of respect for, like, what she's put into wrestling and, you know, improving. You know, obviously, I wish I was a part of the pay-per-view. There's the women's four-way. I have never wrestled Jamie Hayter. I've never wrestled Britt Baker. I've never wrestled Toni Storm. I've coached Toni Storm, never wrestled her. Sheeta, obviously, goes, you know, we have a history. So, you know, it'd be great. I'd love to be a part of that. I'd love to be a part of that. But, you know, wrestling ebbs and flows. And this weekend, I'll be watching both very closely. And I have my predictions. I won't say them. But, you know, I think there's a lot of talented women on our roster. Six of them are being showcased this weekend. Athena's another person that I go way back with. You know, we wrestled on the independents together. She paid her dues, you know, she worked hard, and she ended up here for a reason. Same with Toni. I think Toni started wrestling when she was 15. You know, been to Japan several times, and wrestles a very cool style that I really like. Same with Jamie. I love Jamie's style, kind of that Japanese influence. That resonates with me as well, because I've been to Japan many times and I love that style. So anyways, I will be watching both matches. Okay. And I have my predictions and I have my hopes, and hopefully there's going to be some changes that happen this weekend. And these are all people that I would love to get in the ring with. So whatever happens, and whoever, you know, either retains or if the championship changes, I hope to be in the picture. And every single one of them that I listed and that are on the card, I'd love to challenge and, you know, get in the ring with for the first time.
Like you said, always ready. Like you said.
Always ready.
Speaking of title, I they allowed there will be also a final for the tournament for the trios title. And just wondering if the Women's Revolution has to build, maybe we can pick up a third one, maybe the tag team belts. We speak about it since the Diddley draw tournament. So it's a thing that is in your mind. Maybe it's something that you like to put yourself in if it's possible in the future.
Women's tag team titles.
Yeah.
I feel that that's on the horizon. I do. Like I said, we have a lot of women, a lot of really talented women, and, you know, the men have a lot of different championships, you know, now we have Ring of Honor in the mix, and Trios title. And I think it would be great to have women's tag team championships. If I were to pick a partner, I would pick Mercedes.
Wow. Oh, interesting.
I would pick Mercedes. That's somebody, you know, we just wrestled at the Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view, and she's somebody that I respect a lot. I think she's a great wrestler. I also remember, I don't even know what the year would be, maybe 2008, 2009, something like that. And we were just wrestling indie shows in these, you know, gross arenas. And it's, I mean, it's great memories.
Yeah.
But I remember from the start, Mercedes just being really good to me. She had been in the business longer than I had. I was, you know, still pretty young. And she, you know, just looked out for me, you know. I remember crashing on her couch one night because I had to be at the airport very early the next morning. And she's somebody that I feel that I have really good chemistry with, and also somebody that is pretty humble. Mm-hmm. Humility, I think, goes a long way in this business because not everybody is that way, and that's fine. Everybody's their own individual. But she's very humble. She knows she's really good, but that doesn't like contradict her humility and her work ethic. And so if, you know, if Tony decides women's tag team titles are in the picture, I would love for Mercedes to be my partner, and I honestly hope it happens, because it would just give more TV time to the women, and just another thing to fight for. Like, you know, I think a lot of us are just gunning for just more opportunities and more things to fight for, and that's my choice.
Okay, we're starting to running out of time. So last quick question. In a recent interview with Phil Strum for Under the Ring, you said that top three things on the syllabus of Professor of Professional Wrestling would be wipe your feet before entering the ring, work on the lockups for the start of the match, and study. I'd say that I wipe my feet starting this interview. I cannot work on my lockup right now, of course, but I want to be one of your best students. So I'm going to ask you, let's say two matches I could study because you think that they're valuable on a technical side. I don't know. The two matches to know to be in your class.
Oof. Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin submission match at WrestleMania. Is probably my favorite match of all time. Or really any Bret Hart match. That kind of goes without saying. I think it's pretty obvious. And then Bret and Davey as well, British Bulldog. You know, flawless, just flawless. And those are just, you know, I mean, there's so many, like I really like to watch British wrestling as well, because again, the attention to detail. I think Zack Sabre Jr. is one of the best in the world. Probably, well, yeah, like one of my top three right now, mm-hmm. as being one of the best in the world. Any Zack match. There was a you know, you can't talk about like great matches if you don't talk about storytelling as well and emotion. I love technical wrestling, so I always go to more of like the technical matches. But if we're talking about like crowd reaction and storytelling, you know, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. I mean, watch that match and listen to the crowd. They had him in the palm of their hands. I'm kind of impartial because I was a senior in high school and I got to go to WrestleMania 20. And I was still just such a fan, like getting ready to go to OVW the next year and everything. WrestleMania 20 was really special at Madison Square Garden. The three-way between Triple H, Shawn, and Benoit, like phenomenal. Also on that card, Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero. Eddie's one of my favorites.
Speaking of storytelling, the match was perfect.
It was perfect. Yeah. I mean, pretty much any Eddie or Kurt match was pretty perfect. So yeah, that's more than two, but I mean, yeah. Those, yeah. You know,
and then
you got to go to Japan and watch Okada and Kenny and Okada and Tanahashi. And I watch a lot of Tanahashi matches. He's a big influence on my wrestling style. There's so many New Japan matches that I think would be special as well. But just off the top of my head, like those are incredible matches. And but, you know, Bret Hart, shout out. Best of all time, in my opinion.
Okay. So there's a lot of homework from our professor. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of homework.
But we will start study something from All Out pay-per-view this weekend, of course. And I cannot say enough thank you to Serena Deeb for staying with us.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and one more thing before I let you go. Italy, I've never been.
Okay.
But my parents, who are neither, my father is passed away now, but my mom is still here. They met in Florence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Under the, I don't want to pronounce it wrong, the Uffizi Gallery or Uffizi Gallery?
Okay, Uffizi, yeah.
Uffizi Gallery, yep. They met under the Uffizi Gallery on my father's birthday. And
so romantic.
Yeah, so romantic. Neither one from Italy, but they were there at the same time. And that's why I'm here. So Italy, especially Florence, is like my number one place I want to go in the world.
So. I bet that Florence is waiting for you now.
I can't wait. I can't wait. It's on my bucket list for this year.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's it for it. So abbiamo finito con Serena Deeb. Grazie ancora. E vi aspettiamo presto con un'altra intervista in esclusiva qui su Tutto Wrestling.